All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the call. I'm so glad to have you here. I think we probably almost maxed out the lines this evening. We had a lot of people respond and reply for information about Kim's new program. And my name is Rachel Embry, and I work with Kim Sales and the rest of the first class team. And I'm really excited to be on this call tonight with you. And I just want to take a second before Kim starts talking to introduce her, because many of you have probably heard of Kim before and some of you haven't. Kim is actually an industry veteran, and she's the author of If My Product's So Great, How Come I Can't Sell It? And Customer Enchilada, 100 Customers in 100 Days. And she's joining us tonight to discuss her newest training program, which is actually a new method and a new take on approaching and building your network marketing business. And Kim calls this method the Helper Healer Marketing Method, and what I really like about it is that it focuses on the huge percentage of people in our industry who don't have that natural recruiter type of personality. Those of us who find many of the one-liners that are taught to us to use with prospects are just really uncomfortable, and we really just want to help prospects with our products and our opportunity, and we don't want to feel like we're pressuring them. So, Kim, thank you so much for joining us on the call tonight.
It's totally a pleasure. It's always fun for me to speak to real people that are in the field, because I've been in the field and recently in the past year has spent quite a bit of time in the field helping people, trying new ways to introduce the product and the business to people, because the marketplace is very different today than it was, say, 10 years ago. And I think people who are in the business, those of you that are listening, veterans, people that have been in 5 or 10 years, somehow in the United States, the market has changed, and it isn't getting any easier. So that's why I do marketing currently, you know, myself helping people, not as a distributor for any company, but to help people that are in the field experiment with new ways of getting people engaged and interested and stay on the product and stay with the business. So, yeah, I'm delighted to be here, always.
Good. Thank you so much. Well, I wanted to ask you, let's go ahead and start right up and talk about how you came up with the program, because a lot of people have seen the emails and the newsletters, and they've visited the page and watched your videos, but they probably have some questions about what this method is and how you came up with the idea to create it in the first place.
Okay. Well, let me say this. I would say that I can tell you the reason I came up with the program is really the same reason that I started the Orange Book, you know, If My Product's So Great, How Come I Can't Sell It? I've been in the business for 21 years, and I started as a rabid recruiter. In fact, I think in the company that I was with, was NSA, they often said, you know, I recruited more people and built my business faster than anyone in the 25-year history of the company. And, you know, they're now like 55, 60 years old, so the recruiting has been something that's one of the things that I did in the very beginning. Not the only thing, but one of the things I did. And what I found in starting around 2003, 2004 is that the people that we helped recruit didn't stay in the business. And from company after company and person after person, top people as well as people just getting started, the question was, well, you know, is recruiting just not working? We're getting all these people. They come to the meeting. They sign up, but they buy the big package. And then we don't hear from them. They're totally gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, what happened to all these people that dropped $5,000 or $2,000 or whatever they bought? They just disappeared. They won't take my calls. They're not returning the product either, thank God. But nobody's taking the calls anymore. And, you know, what are we doing? And then it occurred to me that at that time, AOL had just been taken over by Time Warner, I think, and AOL was a company whose value at that time was based solely, according to the pundits in the financial press, solely on the number of customers that they had who were paying $12 to $29 a month to be on AOL. And for some of you that are on the call, you may remember, you know, AOL was basically the only thing for many people who were newbies to the internet, and they would pay, you know, $9, $10, $12 a month to be on the AOL system. And AOL had several hundred thousand customers at that time who were paying the monthly regular fees. And that was the basis of the value to a company like Time Warner, because they didn't have anybody like that. They didn't have regular customers. So I thought, well, okay, so we in our industry have products that people buy every single month. So this model of business struck me as like, that's kind of a cool thing. because we have products that people can buy on a regular basis that really are very special. And then the other trend at that time was Michael Dell, who at that time was the number one person marketing computers. And his, you know, the kind of the Dell advantage was that he was finding people specifically for his Dell computers. When he was running his company out of his college dorm room, you know, and hid his computers in the bathtub so when his parents came, they wouldn't see that he was actually doing something on the side instead of studying like a good boy. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, well, I called businesses around my area and said, look, if you buy a computer from me, I will customize for you the software for it. So if you're in the sales business, I can do tracking, I can do this, I can do that. So he really customized his product for, he did direct sales, basically is what he did. He went to the customer and said, what do you need? Let me customize my computer software for you. So I thought, well, those two things are kind of what the business is about, our industry. So for those people who love their products, who want to build a giant customer base like AOL did, you know, the 300,000-400,000 customers is a nice group of customers to have. Why not focus on those people who have those kind of products? And that's really was the growth of if my product's so great, how come I can't sell it? It was to find those people who were marketing products that they thought could change the world and build giant customer bases. So that's really how that began. And the Helper Healer program really grew out of that, and it's really the audience for this program is not everyone. I mean, I just want to be upfront about that. I mean nothing's for everyone, but this program is no different. This the Helper Healer program is for people who really, 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 really want their business to work because they think they can change the world with the product that they've got.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the core group that this program is directed at. Now, you know, just want to be totally clear about this. There are many ways to build a business. And what you want to do to go the distance, regardless of what your company is, what the business is, who your upline is, your downline, you have to go with an approach, the motivation, that'll keep you going the longest. So if your upline says, well, I want to build an empire, and you are like a Donald Trump, and you are more like a Mother Teresa, where you want to impact the entire world, but not because you want an empire, but because you like impacting the whole world, your motivations will be different. And what the part that's not duplicatable in our industry are the individual motivations of the people who do the business. So this program is if you want your business to work more than anything else because you think you can change the world, because of the product that you've got, then this is the program. It was designed with those folks in mind. And so that's really who it's for, and that's why I created it. I guess the other thing is some of you, all of you have heard of Apple Computer, and probably many of you have iPhones and may have Mac computers, and you may have had the iPod. And the thing about Steve Jobs, I have followed him since they had their first computer years ago when they started in Silicon Valley. I think it's, what, 35 years now. And his goal was always to wow people with the experience that they would have when they bought his computer. And from the first one, they had a proportional type. For those of you, you know, that are interested in typology and whatnot, if you have proportional type, it means that the letters move in the spaces that they're given depending on their size. So it can read really pretty. And at that time, Bill Gates didn't have anything like that. And so Steve Jobs' first contribution, besides an interesting-looking computer and a beautiful machine, was that they had proportional type. Well, did everybody care about that? No. But the crazy people who really loved art and loved beauty and loved that sort of thing went for his computers because they were more from the beginning than the PCs were. So, and over the years, he's become the master marketer. I think Apple is probably, according to Barron's, they are the number one most valuable company in the world. And I think they're the second largest in terms of revenues, except for Exxon. I think Mobil is probably maybe still the first one, the oil company. And they do much less advertising than other people. Most of their advertising comes through word of mouth. People who say, oh, my God, have you seen my iPhone? These people aren't selling the product, right? It's, oh, my God, look, it does this, it does that. Oh, if you touch it, it does this. Children sleep with these things at night. There are kids who are 8 or 9 years old who will tell you there's no what is that? If it's not an iPhone, it's not a phone.
It's true.
So, you know, and if you believe that your product is going to move the people who are themselves the shakers and the movers in the world like he does, which puts your customer at a very high pedestal. See, he doesn't aim for the lower. He said, we don't make junk. What is that? We don't make anything you'll ever see in Walmart, Kmart. And that's what he's saying. This is his choice. Some of you may go, well, he's snobbish. Well, yeah, he's got his audience. And the people who are the most crazy about his products, who themselves are the artists and the video makers and or the wannabes, tell everybody else who are not quite as keen, who are not as knowledgeable, but they trust the opinions of the ones that they're listening to, who are big movie makers. And I can't even tell you how many people have bought the Mac computers because they know that Steven Spielberg, the director, uses all the software in his offices to edit their movies. And it's like, oh, well, if Spielberg is using a Mac and has the Final Cut Pro programs in his offices, well, then we want that too. And these are people who are just starting out making movies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that, you know, where you... So anyway, so that's who the program is for, and it's for people who feel that and who think their product is a world-changing type of thing and who want to find people who think they can change the world with a product like this also. So
now,
that's
when when I was talking to you earlier, I was asking you, because we got some questions from people asking about if it was just to sell products or if it would actually help them recruit more people. And you had a really good analogy about finding people, like you just mentioned before, that are passionate in the same way that you're passionate about something. And so really it's for both, for people who do want to sell more product and get more customer and product volume every month, but also people who don't want to be pushy, yet they want to recruit more people into their business. They can use it for both. Is that right?
Yes, it's a question of the order. If you think about why you're staying in the business, I assume that many of the people on the call have been in the business for a while, and judging by the questions, many of you have been in for a while, meaning like at least a year, and I'm assuming that you're doing it like 2-3 hours a week at least, defined as making contacts, trying to make contacts and, you know, set things up, do demos, whatever you're going to do or talk about the opportunity, but you haven't had much success. So ask yourself, why are you still staying in the business? Why are you staying in the business if you're really not making much money? And just, you know, you don't have to answer out loud, but just kind of answer for yourself. Why am I staying in this? I mean, I'm not making much money, and why do I stay here? If your answer is, well, I really, because we've done surveys about this, so the answers are really, they're wonderful, a wonderful window on the souls of people doing this business. Some people say, well, you know, I really love the product. I just love, 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 love it. It's changed my own life. I used to have this. I used to have that. Now I don't have these issues anymore. And I want to tell as many people as I can. Okay, that makes you somebody who is kind of a product lover. And many, many people say that that's why they stay in the business. Now, that may not be why they came in. You may have come in thinking, oh, somebody said this is a great way to make money. I could use some extra money. So let me do it. And then you discover, oh, it's not quite as easy as it looked. So, oh, geez, you know, maybe this isn't going to be the thing, and you stay in it anyway because you like the product. Well, that's one kind of person. The program is definitely designed for somebody like you. On the other hand, if your reason that you're staying in the business is because you hope that maybe someday you're going to strike it big, if that is your main reason and you're doing the business because you like the product, then you have a different kind of a focus that you're going to be doing, and you could benefit from the program, but it's not the first group that it's aimed for. So that's why I'm saying, you know, if you are somebody who can imagine building an empire that is based on customers, if that's the kind of empire you can think about, like Steve Jobs has, the program will be good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's just a question of what your motivation is to get there.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are many programs for recruiting, for showing people how to recruit. Tim has the best ones on the market. So I don't think you would need to come here to learn how to do that. I think this is for the folks who are really looking to figure out, how am I going to take this product and make the world a better place with it? Those are very big ambitions. You think about Donald Trump compared to Mother Teresa. I'm here to tell you that Mother Teresa is no sissy. she took in checks, bags of cash wherever she went. People would send her checks for $50,000, $60,000, and then they'd call her office and say, did you get the check? Because it was like $50,000. And the lady writing this was one of the nuns who was there. She said these poor folks thought that they had sent a really big check, and they didn't realize it was just one of, you know, 50 or 60 she got every week, most of which were bigger.
Wow.
So she built a huge empire. Her motivation was just not, oh, I want this money. Whereas Donald Trump loves Donald Trump and is very successful. So you have to just ask yourself, what motivates you to keep going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you somebody who wants to change the world because you think you can make it a better place with your product in particular, or not? And if that first one is who you are, that's who the program was made for. So
another benefit too to that too is that as you get more product customers, a lot of them would probably or might be interested in the opportunity as well. So
I would say that if you go to the major companies, or you go to your, if for any of you that are big product companies, you know, you're like, you're the Shackleys and the New Skins and the companies where the product type is happens to be something really special versus, say, Amway, where I've done a lot of work with them, and they market so many things that are already on the market, or like Zappos shoes, like the example we talked about earlier. Zappos mm-hmm. doesn't have special shoes. They sell you everything that you can get already. What makes Zappos special is the service that you get. So there's an edge depending on, you know, what you want to do. I forget the point I was going to make, so I'll let it go.
No, I agree. Well, another question, we were talking about this earlier, and this is kind of funny. We were talking about, you know, the issue of things being duplicatable, and that seems to be such a huge issue. It seems to me like that's the first question in most people's minds when they're thinking about, okay, well, this sounds good, but is it duplicatable? And you and I were talking earlier about how that's kind of a relative thing. Is it duplicatable if it doesn't actually work for everybody?
Right, that's kind of like saying, how come everybody can't play ace tennis? You know, why isn't everybody the perfect golfer? I mean, duplicatable, I think, has come for some people to mean that you should not be creative. And that, in other words, everybody gets to the top the same way. There are people who have gotten to the top of the business without the Internet. I mean, somebody who comes to mind is a gal I've known for, 20 years, Paula Pritchard. Some of you probably know her. She's done probably, 7 or 8 major companies, got to the top of everything, and stayed at the top of everything until certain companies crashed, and she doesn't use the Internet. Okay, there are other people who have gotten to the tops of their companies or are at or near the top who are, say, using the Internet. So it really everyone gets to the top a different way. So in terms of your motivation, that is going to be hard to duplicate. In other words, if you are looking to market your product and you want the business to work because you really, really want to change the world with your product, you cannot duplicate such an attitude unless you find people who also want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the duplication, when somebody says, is it duplicatable, it depends on what part of the business you're talking about. You know, are you doing presentations? You know, what kind of presentations are you doing? The doing of a presentation might be duplicatable, but the way you actually set up the decor, the kind of music you pick, who you invite are all individual things, depending on who you are.
Exactly. And I think a lot of times when people get started in the business, you know, they're given a script and a specific step-by-step plan. Okay, you're a new distributor. Here's what you need to do, and you need to start recruiting. And you're going to do step one, and now you're going to do step two, and then you're going to say this, and then you're going to do that. And if they try to deviate from it in any way or do something that maybe feels a little bit more natural to them, more comfortable to them, they're saying, oh, that's not duplicatable. You can't do that because it's not duplicatable. You have to follow it exactly like that. And then you run into the trouble, well, it doesn't feel comfortable to me, you know?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I wouldn't say this to people that I know. So it's not duplicatable for people that feel horrible about trying to follow the duplicatable system that doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where the personalities come in. And a lot of people feel like this is not my style to talk about it this way. It's not my style to say, would you like to make $3,000 or $4,000 a month part-time? Number one, because I don't know anybody who does it. Number two, and most of all, for many people, I personally am not yet successful. So it's very hard for me to lead with, here's a way to make some income part-time, and particularly when people throw around numbers like a few thousand dollars a month part-time, because then the resistance, I've had women call me and say, I can't sleep at night. I just cannot, I can't say this anymore. This is what I'm supposed to say. I know. And if enough people sign up with me, maybe I will make it, you know, the fake it till you make it. But shit, I can no longer look people straight in the eye and say, well, here's a way to make some, would you like to know something about a way to make a couple, two, 3,000 a month part-time when I'm not even making $100?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, it's not duplicatable because a person will not do it because it doesn't, not because they're chicken or they're wussy. No, no. They won't do it because it violates their principles.
Exactly.
I am not making that kind of money. I am not going to tell people, here's how to make that money. Because what happens is somebody will say, oh, how to make, say, $2,000 a month part-time. They go, yeah, I want to do that. And the person goes, great, well, you know, come to the meeting tonight. And they'll say, oh, Lulu, yeah, well, what are you making right now? And there you are. And then, what can you know, of course you can dance and say, well, I just got started yesterday, and or I just got started last month, or I haven't made anything yet. But you see, the more you lead with the money, when you make these offers, do you want something where you can make $2,000-$3,000 a month? If I could show you a way, would you want to know about it? The more the other person is going to say, well, what have you made? It triggers that question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we've told people, don't lead with that, because if unless you want to hear and answer the question, well, what have you made? And so that kind of, you know, you get the nitty-gritty and you feel kind of like, oh, man, well, I haven't made any yet, but my upline's made a lot of money. And, you know, then you've basically lost your credibility.
Mm-hmm.
So there are other ways to accomplish the same thing. So that's,
yeah.
So then it's not duplicatable in the sense that the person doesn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And many of the folks then quit and say, well, I just don't think I can do this.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. I was telling you earlier on the phone, we were talking about my husband, who's a networker full time. And some of the training that he got in the beginning about running around the room, and I've actually shared this before to Tim's list in a newsletter, about running around the room.
I think you should say it out loud, and you should describe the whole picture. This is the funnest thing, guys. This is something they used to do 10 or 15 years ago. Some of you may be old enough in the business to remember it.
They,
come on,
they
Rachel,
still,
tell it like it is.
They still do it. They still they still do it. And anybody who's on this call tonight is in one of these, you know, types of companies absolutely gets what I'm saying. And I'm not going to say that it doesn't work, because for a recruiter-type personality, it absolutely works. But for somebody who does not have this type of personality, running around the room until you get really excited and winded, and then calling your brother-in-law on the phone and saying, hey, Steve, this is Rachel. I have something. Are you near a computer? Go to www.blahblahblah.com, and I'll call you back. I got to go. And then you get off the phone really, really quick, and you just basically hang up on them and then call them back a few minutes later and say, do you see why I'm so excited? Like you're in some sort of a fake panic. And this was actually taught, you know, at training meetings and on Sunday night calls, and it was just pushed. This is the duplicatable method. This is what you have to do. Every distributor in the company has to follow this. And I can't even tell you the number of people who called and emailed and just said, I can't do it. I just can't. Is there another way? Is there some other way I can approach people other than this? Because this does not feel comfortable to me.
Yeah, it's, you know, you can open the call up and get some reactions from people so they realize that this is duplicatable only by somebody who's willing to do it.
Yeah, okay, well, hold on a second. Let me see if I can figure out how to do this. All right, so if you've done that before and it hasn't worked for you, if you want to press *6, you're welcome to give us your feedback on that one. Everybody, *6. If you *6, you can just talk. I'm the first person to talk.
I thought this was going to be a call about verbiage and basically verbiage on how to approach people. That's kind of what the email had said.
Yeah, I think we're going to get into that next, Kim, aren't we?
Yep.
Okay.
That's what I was waiting for.
So wait a second, the gal who was just speaking, what did you think you were going to get today on the call?
Verbiage on, basically verbiage on, you know, kind of health healer type of thing versus like we were just saying, you know, running around the room. We all know we don't want to do that. But...
Okay, I got it. Okay, yeah, we can mute everybody. I certainly can do some of that.
Okay, we're muted again.
Okay, good.
All right, so I think she was asking, she wanted to get some actual verbiage. So instead of running around the room and being super excited and out of breath, what would be an alternative method of approaching people that would be more in line with the helper-healer philosophy?
Okay, well, first you'd have to think about who it is that you're going to approach. So let me give you some, you know, a couple of examples. Let's say that you're going to approach people that you know, and at least who know your name, you know, when you're, and say that you're going to be calling them up. And sometimes you may have situations where they know that you're in a business of their own, and so sometimes people may not want to take your call, but some people, you know, may know, and they will take your call. So, you know, you're going to have... You get ready for the different kinds of people that you're going to be calling. But let's say that you're going to call somebody that you know, say, I don't know, a cousin or someone. And a lot of this stuff, by the way, is in the Orange Book. If my products are great, how come I can't sell it? But one thing you can do is call her up and say, hey, Lulu, this is, Aunt Lulu, this is Kim. And I'm calling everybody I know to ask them a question. Do you have a second? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the person knows right away, oh, she's calling everybody she knows to ask them a question, do you have a sec? And that's to alert them. We're not going to talk about the hemorrhoids or, you know, the relationships with the kids and all that kind of stuff. So they go, yeah, so what's the question? And say, well, you know, I'm marketing this product. You may or may not know Aunt Lulu. You know, I have a little business of my own. And I'm marketing this product for people who are really into organic whole food supplements or people who are really interested in losing weight without drugs and without toxic stuff. And I wonder if you know anyone who might like to know about a product like that. And that's the reason I'm calling, to ask if you might know anyone who would like to know about a product like that. And that would be your basic, that's one of your basic approaches. And what you would also do, obviously, if you know the person, is add like me. So, Aunt Lulu, I'm calling everybody I know to ask them a question. Do you have a sec? Okay. Yep. What's the question? Well, you know, you may or may not know, I'm marketing a product for people who, say, are interested in losing weight without doing drugs and without having any toxic stuff put into their bodies, like me. Do you know anyone who might like to know about something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what'll happen is she'll say, well, I don't know, I'll let you know. Okay, great, no problem. If you know, give me a call, and then I'll introduce this product to them and see what their reaction is.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest thing that I can tell everyone on the call is when you're looking to market the product or the business, you know, you could also say, you know, I'm expanding my business, and I'm looking for other people who love sales, who love other people, who really love the idea, who can't keep their mouth shut, who love to have something to talk about and actually make some money doing it. There's a, and I wonder if you know anyone like that. Do you know anybody like that who is just a non-stop talker who loves to talk to people, who's totally into, loves selling, loves sales, loves people, is a completely bubbly type of personality? Do you know, and if you know anyone like that, would you let me know? Because I'd like to show them what this is just in case.
Mm-hmm.
See, now notice there's no pitching about this is the greatest thing in the history of the world. There's no promising about I'm going to make all this money, because you don't know how much money anyone else is going to make. And that way it doesn't trigger the question, well, what are you making?
Mm-hmm.
You're describing the qualifications of the person that you seek. And if you want to find a recruiter, the qualifications of a recruiter are going to be people who love marketing, probably people who've had their own home-based business before, people who love other people. People who cannot keep their mouth shut. In fact, there was a guy yesterday, the top recruiter for this company, and I said, well, what do you think is your best, you know, how would you characterize your success if you were to name one thing? And he said, I can't keep my mouth shut. And I said, well, great, why don't we have an ad campaign for people who cannot keep their mouth shut? We're looking for people like that. Well, but isn't that right? Isn't that what you want? Because if you as a recruiter say, or as a product person say, well, I really can't talk to anyone. I'm just so shy. I feel like an ingrown toenail. How in the world are you going to, you know, then you first have to go to a class to kind of stop being so shy, right? Because in order to make money in a sales business where you're promoting products or a business, you have to be able to make some kind of a presentation. Because
sure.
Eventually you can go online and say, well, I'll do it on the internet. And you go, yeah, but, you know, if you knew what I knew about the numbers that you need to make it on the internet, you'd probably pass out. I mean, the numbers, you need, you know, really, unless you really target whom you seek online, people who blah, 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 not just anybody. So you can't just put out a pitch and say, I'm looking for people who want to make money. That doesn't distinguish anyone. Everybody wants more money. So you need certain kinds of people like buying shoes. You know, if you go to buy shoes and you're a woman, do you try all the shoes on in the store just because they're all shoes? Or do you say, I want women's, I want, you know, Nike, I want running shoes, I want size 8? And you end up with 5 or 6 pairs that the shoe person brings you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want to do when you go out recruiting or looking for product users and people who want to be regular long-term customers are the ones who meet the criteria, because all of marketing is broken up into niches. There are products for people who this. I mean, for those of you in skincare, if you're trying to market a product for some, say you have this marvelous skincare product that's organic or certified organic, or it comes from, you know, Sweden or Switzerland, or and you think it's a marvelous product, it's helped you. If you talk to somebody who's spending $6 a jar on Pond's, you're going to have a tough time doing that, and because what's going to happen is she's going to say, well, how much is yours? And you're going to say, well, it's $40 or $38 or $29. And she's going to go, well, are you nuts? That's too expensive. Because you marketed to the wrong person.
Yeah,
somebody who's using a $6 jar of Pond's cream is not somebody whose values include, I got to figure out what to do with my skin here so that I preserve it. And so I want to look at organics. I want to look at this. You know, if people are really, really interested in looking good with their skin, for example, they're not going to be people who use Pond's cream.
Yeah.
So that just tells you that you need to target your audience a little bit better to people who are already spending, say, $30, $40 a month on their skincare cream.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. You know, Tim uses that as he has an example about health and wellness products with vitamin supplements, and that one struck a really big chord with me, is that if you're talking to somebody about your vitamin supplement product and they say, oh, you know, I don't need anything like that because I buy the super, you know, extra large, big size at Sam's Club or at one of those Costco places every month, so I'm not interested in that sort of thing, then you're kind of, you know, beating your head against a brick wall. It's not going to get through. If somebody looks at, you know, your antioxidant supplement and says, well, I can get the same thing at Sam's for $10 for a pack of 500, you know, obviously they just don't get it.
Yeah, they just don't have those values. They have different, it's all about marketing. If I could persuade you of one thing today, it would be marketing is about values. You have certain values, and you want to find people who have those values. Just think about Apple, who has been less than 1% of the market since they existed, because they were looking for, they never changed their strategy, never. They will never have a cheap Apple computer or a cheap version of the iPhone, not as long as Steve Jobs is above ground. Why? Because they have a very specific kind of an audience in mind. And most of you selling nutritionals, you do not have Walmart quality products, do you? I mean, think about your products. Would you say, yeah, this is the kind of stuff that they have at Walmart? I bet not. So if you don't have a Walmart quality product, I can tell you it's not going to have a Walmart price tag. If you are selling Prada products, high quality, Gucci products, you know, high-end, you're going to have a high-end price to go with it, which means you need someone who, in her mind or his mind, has those values. Just think about what you spend extra money on. You know, those things, if you really spend, you go all out with, say, a video game because you want the best one, or you go all out with your phone because you want the best one, and you spend, say, you have $1,200 to spend, and so you blow the whole thing on an iPad too, you know, fully loaded. Because those are your values. It's not about having money. It's about how you allocate your resources. And all of us have certain things where we go, well, I'll just pay anything because my kid's graduating, and I'll sell my car to get her the ring at Tiffany's. Why? Because you know that's a special place for special events, for special people. And my kid's graduating, and she's going to get that ring, and I'm going to spend $5,000 on it, and she's going to get it in a Tiffany box. Those are values. So once you decide what your values are and ask yourself, why are you loving the product that you market? Is it because it's changed your life? Do you want to change other lives with it? If that is what it is, then this program, the Helper Healer, will show you how to find those people, how to speak to them, how to get them to come and take a look and check it out, and how to show them the ways that they can become part of your operation so that you have lots of missionaries out there spreading the word, because that's really what this is. It's kind of like being a missionary. You're educating people, but you want the people that are open to you, not the ones who say, I didn't ask for you to come.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Well,
yeah.
We got some questions from
subscribers.
Can I ask you a few questions?
And for the gal who was saying, you know, I want to have some scripts, let me just give you just a couple more while I think of it. For example, some people say, well, if I meet a stranger and I don't really know what to say. So let's say you have somebody coming to your house to fix your TV, or somebody comes to the house and they're really a bubbly personality, and
mm-hmm.
you go, man, I wish I could have somebody like that in my business, but what do I say? You might tell them, say the guy's name is Joe and he's just fixed your internet or something, and you say, Joe, this is probably not for you. Go ahead right away so they don't get, but I have a little business of my own, and I happen to be looking for people who are really have bubbly personalities like you, who are, really very much like you and who would like to help us introduce a product into the area. Do you know anybody who's kind of like you, really bubbly, really friendly people person, who might want to help us expand our business here? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone that you meet like that, you can always say, I'm looking for somebody who's really kind of like you. If say you meet somebody and you go, oh, I wish I had somebody like that in my business. But that's how you start. First date. Because remember, it's like you open the kimono just a little and then you close it. Otherwise, there's no mystery. So you start with just a step at a time, just one little piece at a time. And if the guy goes, well, I might know somebody like that, it might be me. Say, okay, well, I'll give me your number and I'll call you back. Don't look so anxious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to know something interesting? I was telling somebody earlier on the call before you got on, Kim, that I started doing a green smoothie thing the past couple of days, kind of like a detox, and I've been posting about it on Facebook just for fun, not for any purpose other than to say I'm doing a green smoothie detox. And I'm amazed at how many people, have emailed me through Facebook and said, well, tell me about it.
What did you put on Facebook?
I just put on my profile, day one, green smoothie detox, and now I'm on day two, green smoothie detox. And so I'm basically just updating, the world, and I'm thinking, who cares? Nobody cares. It's Facebook. People don't care that I'm on a green smoothie detox. But apparently people do because people have been emailing me asking me for information about this green smoothie detox. Now, I don't have a health and wellness product to promote, but if I did, they would sure be the people that I would let them know about it, because they're obviously have raised their hands and said, I'm interested in hearing more about your green smoothie detox,
That's interesting. One of the top Facebook consultants, some of you probably are wondering, how would you do something like this on Facebook? And we may include part of that in the Helper Healer program. It isn't there right now, but I'm working on it myself. But let me give you some interesting tips based on what you just said about how to market your stuff on Facebook. Facebook is not a search operation like Google. You go to Google and you look up, what's a six-day detox, and you look it up and you find all the different people that are offering that or whatever you're looking for. Facebook seems to be more for people that are kind of cruising and go, oh, let's see who so-and-so's friends are. Let's see if I have more friends than so-and-so. And so this gal developed some principles of how to market, and they've had extreme success with it on Facebook. And here is what you do. Let's say that you're marketing a weight loss product. Well, on Facebook, apparently, when you say, I have a weight loss product, or this is the best weight loss product, or, something about weight loss product, nobody clicks. Because, that's more a Google type of thing, right, where you're looking for weight loss. So instead, what she said is what you do is you find people who want to lose weight, which would include yourself if you're one of them, And ask yourself what you talk about. And you put the conversations, snippets of the conversation of the people who are your target market on your Facebook page and on ads that you create. So, for example, she has, as an example, she said, they had an ad that said, and Rachel, you might have to help me, there's a TV show called The Biggest Loser.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Something like that. They had the name of the show, you know, like I watch The Biggest Loser. And I love Krispy Kreme. Those two things got this person an avalanche of mail about, like, what are you doing to lose weight?
Mm-hmm.
Just like you did. What did you do? You said, I am detox number one, day one. Detox
mm-hmm.
greenie. So you were describing something that you were doing because you're detoxing.
Mm-hmm.
And on Facebook. And so people are curious about what it is that you are doing. So if you know your market, which, of course, you need to know because it's not everyone, anyone on the call who's been told it's everyone, you've certainly discovered by now, it's not for everyone. Not more money, not your product. I mean, there's just nothing for everyone. I mean, even God, right? Some people say there isn't one of that either. So you got to figure out, okay, who are your rabid buyers going to be? And one way to attract them on Facebook is to describe what the people who are your target market are talking about, like, I love Krispy Kreme, or, you know, I watch The Biggest Loser every night or every week, or I'm doing a detox like you did, my green mm-hmm. detox, because people go, oh, so what are you doing? What's the product? Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you had put, I have a new weight loss product, probably, you know, nobody would have said anything.
Oh, no. And I know we're not talking about Facebook, but I have seen that a lot on Facebook, the people who do it the wrong way versus the ones who do it the right way. And the ones who do it the right way are usually the ones that are very excited about their product or their opportunity, and they're passionate about it. And so they pretty much are just sharing, you know, what they're excited about or what it is that they're doing or you know, one guy in particular that comes to my mind, he talks about every time he pays off one of his credit card bills, you know, he's posting, just paid off American Express, and I'm super excited about it. And it's really just sharing, but I'm amazed at how many more comments those sorts of posts get on Facebook, people asking, well, how did you do that? Or what did you do in order to pay off that American Express bill? Or in my case, you know, what is it that you're doing, and are you using a specific product? And so it gets a lot more response from people who have the same interests as you do. You know, they're interested in the same things that you are.
Right, exactly. Exactly
yeah.
right. Because they want to know what you're doing, not any proclamations of greatness, because everybody knows that everyone's products are supposed to be the greatest out there.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
this is nothing new, and people kind of go ho-hum, you know.
Exactly. And you're sharing something with them instead of puking all over them.
Yeah, exactly, and telling them how great your stuff is. Because while you may believe that, the way to convey that to someone else is not by us telling them how great we are. They have to come to that conclusion themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's that means you got to get the product to them and have them test it. And that means before that, they need to share certain values that you have, that this is important, that organic's important, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody buys organic. Not everybody goes to the farmer's market. I live one block from a farmer's market. Does everybody go? No. There's a Safeway across the street that's packed full. Totally different values.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you one of these questions.
Okay.
And I'm just going to read it verbatim. Somebody had emailed in, and one of their questions was, is they want to learn how to use the helping message, introduce products to people in their small group at church. They're told not to push any business in their small groups when they're at church, but they see people who need the health products really badly, and they just don't want to be misunderstood. So what would you tell that person?
I would suggest to that person that they, well, there's several things they can do. One is take a person who seems to be the most open and just take them to the side and say, look, I have a little business, and one of the products that we market that's helped me a lot is a product to help people lose weight. But it's just for people who want to lose weight that are looking, say, for a way to do it without toxins or that whatever your special thing for your product is. And I'd like to let people here know about it without seeming to be like a salesperson in church. You know, what do you think, what would be the best way for me to do that? What would you do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you involve the first person who you think is the best one to begin with in the process of saying, well, how would you introduce this to a group of people here, like the ones that we're talking about, in case they might know someone who would like to know about this product.
Mm-hmm.
You're always looking one person past the one to whom you're speaking. That takes a tremendous amount of pressure off you.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think, too, if you're using the product and you've gotten good results with it, then it's a lot easier to talk to other people about it. And not only that, but just really talk about your experience with it, not necessarily talk about the product, but talk about your experience and you're feeling better and you've been taking something new and it's really helped you out a lot. And, of course, people then will ask you, well, what is it?
Right,
and,
exactly.
And that gives you an opportunity to talk about it without pressuring it onto people. Of course, if your reason for going to small group at church is to prospect people, we could have a whole discussion about that. About
right, that's going to be a little harder. Yeah, but, you know, in terms of groups that you know, say you are part of a, you know, you're part of, you play a 21 with people or your bridge club or, you know, you have people that you meet with. If one way to get to meet new people is to join, become more social, go and join things that you care a lot about. If you like playing cards, join card clubs. If you like playing tennis, join a tennis club. If you like, you know, think of things that you'd volunteer for where you would enjoy the experience. Because part of that will, people will say, well, you know, your name is Lulu, great. So what do you do? Well, you know, I market this product for people who are trying to lose weight without, you know, having toxins and without doing drugs. Like what happened to me. You know anybody who might like to know about something like that? That's it. You're off the hook. They're off the hook. They can process it and just leave it in their heads. And that's a wonderful way to begin. I was going to say, in terms of talking about the product to other people, according to very interesting research that has been done on women, there's a book called Marketing to Women by a gal named Martha Barletta. And one of the things she said is when you're talking to women, you don't talk about the product or the technology of the product. By the way, Steve Jobs, Apple's man, says exactly the same thing. We never talk the technology. We don't sell technology. We don't tell people how scientifically we're better than everybody else. And that's they've run by those principles for the last 30 years. And the people who care about what's in the iPhone will go and find it, but they never lead with it. They never sell with it. I mean, just so you know, it's the number one retailer in America, in the world, is Apple, and they do not lead, have never led with the science of their product. What they do, and this is what you were saying, Rachel, is they talk about the people who use the products. And I cannot tell you how critical that distinction is. If you're going to your church lady and say, well, you know, one of the people who's using this, you know, lost 30 pounds. Well, yeah, you could say that. But you could also say one of the people who uses this is a writer in the so-and-so thing. Or one of the people who uses this, you know, has 9 kids and is homeschooling all of them. They're tidbits about the people that are using the product that have helped them. And that seems to connect much more with women, she says, this Martha Barletta says, than talking about the science of the product.
Absolutely.
So it's talking about the people who use the products and how they're using them. Think about Apple again. How do they sell their computers? If you go there and look at go to Apple.com, and whatever they're peddling, whatever's on the top half of that page, if it's a computer, if you go there, they'll say, here are stories. Here's a lawyer who used this Mac, and here's what he did with it. He used the Keynote program to make his presentations, and he beat out 15 other people. It's about the people that are using it and how they're using it. They never say, well, and it has so many gigabytes and so many blah, 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 blah. So these are really critical things, and we teach this in this program, how to do this. But you don't need the program to know the principle. You can use the principle right now. Stop talking about your product in terms of the science and what it has in it, if for no other reason than Apple doesn't do that. They talk about the people who are using the product. I cannot stress it enough. And in the women's book, The Marketing to Women, that's one of the most basic, biggest points that she makes. And most of her clients are men marketing to women. They don't, that's not how you do it. The guys might like to know what's under the hood and talk about it. But the women want to know who's driving it, how do they use it, how do you clean when the dog pukes in the back of the car, how do you do when all the kids puke in the back of the car, is it easy to clean, is it easy to get in and out of small places? That's what they want to know.
Absolutely, and the rest of it just becomes confusing.
Well, because if everybody talks about the science, and really, think about it, how much do you really know about the science? Something we just learned about it in the science meeting, and that's, you get one more question too many, or somebody acts like they're a little doctor, then what sometimes happens is the other woman goes, well, I better check with my doctor. As a matter of fact, I'll let you know. And, of course, you never hear another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's true, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true. All right, well, somebody else asked, excuse me, they said they like the helper healer method for building your business, but can you still create a really big income that will create financial and time freedom? And will you still attract the big gun, go-getter type of recruiters into your business?
Okay. Let me just say that if you look at most of the major network marketing companies, if you go to the top of the company and ask the people that are running the pay reports and the genealogy reports for the companies, and you ask them, how many people do you guys send, what percent of the entire distributor base do you send checks to on a every month? What percent of, say the, a company has 100,000 reps, and you ask them about what percent of the reps get checks. In most cases now, of the major, probably the top 10 companies that are product-based companies, they'll tell you the number is somewhere between 3 and 5%. 3 and 5% of the people who ever signed up are getting regular checks. The rest of the money, you go, okay, that's reasonable. That's the same as in real estate sales. It's the same as in all sales. 3 to 5% of the people seem to make, you know, checks on a regular basis because sales is not easy. So where does the rest of the money come from? The rest of the money comes from people who are using the product every single month, who are buying it every single month either because they love it or because they are buying it to qualify in case there's any commission to be made. So they're not people that are, in addition to buying it, selling it. Once you know this and you understand that all, you know, you may have recruited everybody and most of you may have come in because you thought, oh, this is going to be a great way to make money. And if you're still in and you're not making much, building a customer base is what AOL did. Their whole purpose, the whole basis of that company's value was having 300,000 or 400,000 customers. And they sold themselves for, I forget how many multi-millions of dollars to Time Warner. Think about yourself. Let's say that you market a product that's $100. So if somebody pays, not points now or PV or BV or any of that, just dollars, USA dollars, $100 a month, okay? And let's say that the company pays you, oh, I don't know, let's say $20, 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it even less. We'll say 15, right? So you get $15. Dollars, not points or other stuff, just 15 real dollars every time somebody orders this a product that's their $100. And it may take a few months for them to get on auto ship, obviously, because first people have to try it and test it. Nobody wants to be pushed. But if you were to have, say, 10 customers like that, and you earned $15 a month on each one, you'd be making $150 a month. Now, this is not gangster money. I understand that. But, you know, just bear with me. Now, let's say you had 20 customers. How much would you make then? Well, you'd have $300 a month, right? And if you had 100 customers, you'd be making $1,500 a month if they all stayed with it, which they won't. So you want to always get extra, pad your customer base because we all drop out of stuff that we love. But the key is this. Ask yourself how many people in your downline would quit the business if they were making even $150 a month every single month? If that's all they made, how many people in our industry do you think would quit?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need these huge goals to keep people in. If you could have 100 people, all of whom have just 10 customers making their $150 a month every single month, a lot of that would roll up to you. So, yes, you can build a giant customer base. Think about Apple. What do they have? How many, how many iPhones they have sold this past year? It's in the millions. Those are all customers waiting for the next product.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think that all American businesses have customers. Our network marketing industry is the only one where for years it's been focused on recruit, recruit. Doesn't really matter what the one guy told me once. He said, doesn't really matter. Kim, we could be selling automatic nose pickers. It doesn't make any difference. The model is what you're looking for. Now, that may be true. It may have been true before, and for some people, it still works. But for many people, it doesn't work, that model by itself, absent a really cool product that's world-changing in one aspect or another. It doesn't really do much for people. And part of the problem is it's so difficult to make money in sales. 1 in 100 people want to do sales. According to Harvard, they did a really interesting sales study, and it showed how many people would refer a product for money. And this was really a stunner. They studied, it was a very interesting product, was not a networking company, it was a regular direct selling company, and they did surveys of all the customers, hundreds of these customers, and they found that almost everybody said they would refer the product to somebody else, which you need. That's got to be number one. Would they refer it to somebody else because they like the experience with you and the product? Secondly, only 4% actually would refer a product to somebody in exchange for either money or a discount on the product. 4%. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah. So you realize that, you know, we're a special breed, those of us who want to be entrepreneurs. There's a reason that most of the country has jobs. It is their chosen preference. So our goal is to find people like us, special people who want to make a difference and who want to do something either on the product side or on the business side, you know, who want to make a difference in the world, who believe, people like us who think we can make a change in the world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay,
well,
I just wanted to add the Harvard thing in.
No, that's good. Going into the next question, though, somebody asked, because this is right along the lines of what you were talking about, they were talking about in this next question about the training that they have gotten so far with their upline is that if a person doesn't flat out tell you no, then that means a yes. And they're saying that they just don't feel comfortable with it. And what else does she say? She says, I know for myself that I shut down with pushy salespeople or people who give me a sense of urgency with that you've got to make your purchase today before you leave or else mentality.
Right.
And she says she just can't bring herself to come anywhere close to the sales pitch. So how can she, you know, improve her business without offending that soft sell crowd?
Okay. Just instead of pitching the business directly to the person or the product, just say, you know what, this is the last time I'm going to call you. I promise I won't bug you anymore. But I just wanted to ask if you know anyone. Do you know anybody who you think might be just exactly what we're looking for? I need, you know, whether it's the product or the business, don't mix them up. Talk about one or the other at a time, because it's very, very different. 100% of the world buys products. Less than 1% of the world wants to do sales. That's why it's hard to mix them up, because you immediately go from doing 100% possibility to 1% in your same conversation. So focus on one or the other and say, you know, I just wonder if you know anyone, you know, who would like to lose weight and do it without drugs and without putting toxins into their body. Do you know anybody like that? Because I, you know, that's my business. I got to get the word out. I want to find the right people. I know it's not you. I'm sorry I've been a bug. But I wonder if you know anybody who I can talk to. You know?
And you
so
know,
you're asking for help. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing about that, too, is that if this person were to do that, I can kind of just hear the objection coming right now, which is, okay, that sounds great, but my upline tells me I have to do it this way. And
well,
so,
you have to just
decide
what's more important. If you cannot do what your upline says, then what are your choices? You have to go into therapy, right, and be able to decide that. Or you say, well, you know, this is really not my personality. There's probably more than one way to do this, so let me try something else. Because in the end, if you make yourself miserable doing what you're doing, how long are you going to last? How much stress can you take before you start getting sick? You know, before you think every time I get home, my God, where's the bottle? I better, you know, do something or have a joint or do... You know, the more stress you put on yourself, the worse your health is going to be, and you're probably going to be turned into an old crank. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. That's
so
true.
Your upline wouldn't want that. They want what is best for you, and they're telling you what they've heard from people that have made it. And so you just want to make small adjustments, you know, because they intend the best. Everybody intends the best. You have to give that trust. But you have to say, you know, I can't quite do it this way. So if I can bring five people to the meeting and I come up with my own script, would that be okay?
Mm-hmm.
What the upline's probably going to say is, are you kidding me? Next time you'll be in front of the room, you teach your script.
Yeah, and just test it and see if it works.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work for you, then stop doing that and try something else.
Yeah, you know, for everybody who's listening, this is really your mission to make yourself something and to change the world is really like going to the Olympics. And when the people finally get to the Olympics and they win one of these medals, when people say, well, you know, what drove you to do this? You know, because it's a lot of years of training. They'll say things like, oh, I did it for my country, or I just wanted to be the best I could be, or, oh, I did it for my mom who died, or there are these causes that have kept them going. And I've never yet heard a gold medal winner say, the reason I did it all these years is because I wanted the endorsement money.
Yeah.
So that what drives you is what is inside you. And so use that to build who you're going to be with your scripts and your stuff, and just tell your upline, you know, I'd like to try some different things. And if what I do doesn't work, I'll come back and do the things that you, that some people that you know that has been successful. Is that okay? If you're one of those people, you know, where you're not confident yet and you want to be sure they don't kick you out of the group or don't let you sit in their section at the convention, or just be real gentle. Say, look, I'd like to try something else, because just in case. But that takes some confidence.
Yeah.
So go ahead and be confident. You got to be you, girls and boys. You have to be yourself.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just a matter of switching a word or two, so that way what they're telling you to say feels a little bit better to you. And so when you feel better about it, it comes across, you know, so much better.
Well, just that one line. Do you know anyone who might like to know about something like that? You know, do you know anyone? Do you know anyone who might like to know about something like that? Because that's what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Without any promises or anything else, you'd be amazed. I mean, how many people go, yeah, that's me.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep.
Well, somebody else asked if how could they help their team members switch from bothering or prospecting people to actually seeing themselves as helping and serving others. So I think really what she was asking is, how does she help kind of instill this mentality into her team where they're helping and serving other people rather than feeling like, oh, I'm bothering that person, or, you know, I don't enjoy prospecting because I might be bothering people.
Well, you have to decide how important you think your product is to making the world a better place. And if you don't really have strong feelings about your business or the product that you market, you may want to rethink whether sales is something that you want to do. Because approaching people is something that you have to do. This is still a people-to-people business. And I know there are people who say, well, you can get online, we'll give you an automatic lead system. We built automatic lead systems years ago, and the numbers that are required are extremely big. You need tens of thousands of totally cold market, unqualified leads in order to find one or two people. But when that moment comes, that person, before they drop $500 or $1,000, is normally going to want to talk to somebody, and that's probably going to be you.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be able to hold down your end of the conversation. And if you could say, even if you haven't made one nickel, you can say, let me tell you why I'm doing this. I have been into health my whole life. I run every day. I play tennis a couple times a week. I do this. I do that. I eat organic. I do nothing but shop at farmers markets. When I move any place, my first question is, where's the best cafe and where's the farmers market? And where's the tennis court and running trails? And if I don't have those answers, I don't move there, no matter what it is. So when I found this product that met all these requirements, it was organic, it doesn't, no toxins, I figured, all right, I'm going to try it, see if it's any good. And then I did. And now I love it. It's part of what I take every day to keep myself healthy and in shape. And you look good and you've got energy. And so that's the reason I'm doing this business, because I want to market a product like this. Is the person going to say to you, well, what have you made with a story like that? They're probably going to say, what do you look like? Send me a picture. And then if you look and you, because you lived a part, that's why the products that you recommend and that you use, to the extent they can reflect who you already are and that they're an extension of your own values, to that extent you will stay the course and go the distance. And that's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
MLM is not a quick way to make money. In fact, I was telling Rachel, it's probably the least quick way to make money on the planet. If you want a really quick way to make money, and I realize some people are going to go nuts, but think about it. Just think about it. If you really want quick money and you need it immediately, isn't the best thing to go someplace where you know they'll pay you $10 or $15 or $20 an hour? Because it may not be much, but it's guaranteed. You know, you stand at Macy's and your nylons and your heels or whatever people do anymore these days. Is Macy's still? Yeah, they have stuff.
Yeah.
So they have stores. You work at coffee shops. You can do secretarial work. You can do administrative work. You can be president of a company. But the point is that is money that is guaranteed next week, unless you're going and working for a company that just went out of business. But jobs in America are the basis of the economy right now. Entrepreneurs may be the engine of growth, which is what we are, but we are still a minority. And why? Because it's much harder to do sales. And, you know, you don't make money unless you make a sale. You buy stuff from the company, or your people buy product from the company, whether they're recruiters or whether they're customers. That's the only way you're going to get paid. unless you have bought product and then resell out of your own basket. So this is not easy. So if you need immediate a few hundred dollars, it might be better to do something where you can, you know, do copy editing or do anything that you can at home where they're going to pay you a certain amount of money, like I use for Elance and Guru for all my outsourcing. You know, I pay the people, they're guaranteed the money. This is a longer haul, but the rewards are, of course, thousands of times bigger. And that's why I said, you know.
Yeah, you were saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you were saying something earlier when we talked on the phone about making a plan and working backwards from that plan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's say you decide how much money you want to make. I mean, even people that are helper healers think, well, it would be nice to have so much income. So let's say that you decide, well, I want to be able to make, pick a number that we always talk about, $10,000 a month, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now give yourself 3 years to get there. That's not very long. After all, most people go to school for 4 years in college and maybe a little graduate work, and they get a job making $35,000, $40,000 a year. A year, a whole year. So we're talking about doubling that in 3 years. And there's no guarantee you're going to do it, but let's plan it ahead so that you don't go nuts. So you go, okay, 3 years out, I want to be making $10,000 a month. What do I have to do between now and 3 years from now to make that happen? If you do that, take a collective sigh of relief, because you'll give yourself the time to learn how to do it, to make your mistakes, everybody does, to figure out how to find the right people for your product and for your business, and to be somebody who can be a world changer. World changers don't do it in 90 days. So, you know, and that's, if you're looking to change, if you want your business to work because you want to be a world changer, then this particular program will help you, show you the way to make that happen. It'll show you the path. It doesn't do it for you, but it'll show you the way to do it and how to talk to anyone in any situation so that you're never offensive, you're never pushy, you're perceived as someone who's got something. It's probably not for you. We used to lead with, you know, this is probably not for you, but if you know anybody who not wants to make $10,000 a month doing nothing, no. If you know anybody who is a talker, cannot stop yakking, really would like to be part of something that could be really, really, really big, if you really bust it, let me know, because we're going to have a little get-together right here. We used to do that on the streets of San Francisco in the financial district. Every weekend and during lunchtime, we would have the rooms packed with financial executives who wanted to hear how to do this. Why? They're already working 50 hours, 60 hours, 70 hours a week. So why not work 50 or 60 or 70 hours a week building up something that can grow instead of just being a plain old stockbroker?
Mm-hmm.
So it really is, you know, and if you're thinking more like the Mother Teresa, this is what I want to do. I want to change the world and make it a better place because this product is going to help do that. Then you have a slightly different approach, but you're still looking for people who want to help you be missionaries to make that grow. You know, so you're in one way or another, you're looking for the missionaries out there to join you. And, of course, the users of the product who don't want to be missionaries, but they want to be part of the congregation, of the flock, if you will, of people who stand for organic, non-toxic, non-drugs, or whatever it is that you're marketing, including services, by the way.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that because we did get a question from somebody, and you had a really good example of that, too, in a video that you did about if you don't have a product but instead you have a service, like a prepaid legal or something like that, and you had a really good example of how this could actually work if you've got a service that you're trying to move instead of a product.
Right. Like the prepaid legal is a good example, and there are others, but say with a prepaid legal, how would you do something like that? Well, if you had a demo, you had a group of people over for a program like that, which is kind of like a legal insurance program, one thing you would do is bring in third party. I'll show you how to do that anyway. You want to bring in third party always, including for those of you that are really interested in the science of your product. If you happen to be somebody who's into the science of it, you don't want to lead with it because most people don't care about the science, including the MDs, by the way, of whom we've trained many, because their first question is, does it work? Then tell me about the science. They all want to know first, does it work? Does it work? Including doctors, MDs. But let's say you have an ingredient that you think is really super duper. What you can do, go online and research that ingredient. Go to Google and say, okay, does, say, glutathione help with, radioactivity? something like that, right? You got radioactive stuff coming from Japan now. There's glutathione that happens to be an ingredient that's in certain products, many products. Some of you probably that are on the phone have ingredients like this in there. And you find from third party that, oh, my gosh, glutathione helps prevent, I mean, helps the protect the body against radioactive radioactivity, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and you name any of your ingredients and say, does it help do this? And you find third party research from Stanford, research from universities abroad that are that present position papers. That's what they're called, white papers, position papers. And you take some of those and you print them off, make them look nice, and give them to people and say, you know, just so you know, I'm not the only person saying that this ingredient really does something. Here are five studies from totally different places, researchers that were here long before I was even born, saying that these nutrients seem to be associated with reduced this problem, that problem, without making claims, because the FTC is, you know, all over us on the claims. But you show the third-party research to demonstrate that you're not just making this up. And people take comfort in that. They go, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool that you have that. Plus, of course, you're using the product. So there are many ways that you can bring on third party to you know, to try and make that work. The other thing is we had a couple of people who market like Amway or the ACN type products where the products themselves are not the specialty, like say with a Shaklee type of company. And you instead you market like a kind of like a family of everything from electrical to water and, you know, that kind of stuff that doesn't seem to be very sexy from the point of view of people who love products. But what you have is a family of products that everybody uses. And so there your approach can be something totally different. It used to be what the old original Amway approach was. You're using this stuff anyway. We have a source that's just as good. The price is probably a little bit better, but we're putting it through our network of people so everybody, instead of these big faceless companies making all the money, we make some of it too. Would you mind changing over? Would you be willing to change over if you knew the services were just as good and reliable as the one you've got right now? And that's how Amway grew, replacing what they were doing with, you know, with the products that they had. And sometimes they were the same brands, just because it gave a little bit more power to the individuals instead of just the big giant companies making all this money. So once you're in your thing and you think about these things, all kinds of stuff comes up.
Absolutely. Well, let's see. We're kind of towards the end of the call here, so
okay.
I would like to wrap it up a little bit. And if there is something else that you would like to share, I want to make sure that people understand a little bit about what they're getting inside the program. If they've been listening to the call and if you've been saying, yeah, this is definitely for me, and I am that sort of a personality, and I need some help really learning a strategy on how to build my business and still, you know, feel like I'm being true to myself at the same time, and I'm passionate about my products. But I want to make sure that people understand what they're getting when they decide to get into the program, because one of the things that you're doing are some really great features, like you're doing live calls, I think, right, that start on the 30th of April?
Yes, this is a year-long program, so that you can be part of this process. And in case you fall off the wagon, you can always come back in. We're doing a once-a-month live mastermind call. They'll run about 90 minutes each, and it will be to review, you know, we'll showcase a couple of people and their demos, what they're doing to make the presentation, from whom they select, how to select them with all the language. You know, here's how you invite somebody without, you know, irritating them. How to get them to show up, how to get more people to show up than you invite, how to actually do the demo, and how to create, most of all, a wow experience for those people. That's not based on any claims about how we're going to make all this money or you're going to lose all this weight. It's an experience that they have, just like Jobs does with the iPhone. People love that because they get a good experience when they buy the phone. From the moment they pack it, the people have told me that they buy this stuff just to get the packaging. Steve Jobs said once on a conference call, the reason we do the packaging so carefully and people love, they don't even throw the packaging. In fact, I don't think I threw out my last computer packaging yet. I just like how it looks so much. He says, because I want to be the one to get the smile. Why should the UPS man get the smile when they deliver our products? He said, we did the work. I want the smile. That was Steve Jobs.
Mm-hmm.
That's why their packaging is so stunning. Like, oh, gosh. So where were we?
Okay.
You want to talk about how to what's in the program? Is what's
yeah.
in there?
Yeah, I mean, the live calls, and I think that's the other key, is that it's going to be for an entire year. So this isn't just like, you know, go here, download this, or watch these videos. And
I want to be with you. No, this is a trip we can make together. I have found that if your mission yourself is really strong within you, it'll only grow as you have a little bit of success. And so if you really are driven to succeed primarily because you want to, you believe you can change the world and make it a better place because of your product, even or your business, that's what this program is for. And that's why we have the live calls once a month, except for July and August, so people can take some time off every month to showcase somebody's wow experience.
Mm.
And these, you know, so when you're going to do a demo, whether you're at Carnegie Hall or whether you're in your house, and whether you have 3 people or whether you have 10,000 people, if you don't wow them, they're not going to come back, and you won't get good word of mouth. So
yeah,
we want to show you how to do that.
I think the good thing about that, too, is that you'll get to hear what other people are doing and what's worked for them, so that way you can get ideas for yourself as well. Well, that might be really good for my business. I should try that.
Yeah, and that's what the mastermind does. Everybody puts in their 2 cents to help you in the same way that the Chicago Six did that. You know, Bill Wrigley and William Hertz and all those people in the early 1900s, you know, Napoleon Hill talks about the Chicago Six and their mastermind. And all those 6 guys were penniless when they began, everybody. Nobody had a pot to pee in. That's what Napoleon Hill said in his book. And after 3 or 4 years of meeting every Saturday night, they never missed. They missed. They had dinner every Saturday night together. And each week, one man would be on would be showcased, and it would be his problems that all the others would help to solve, whether it was, what am I going to sell? You know, where's my market for this? How am I going to get money? How am I going to set it up? And at the end of 4 or 5 years, all of them, each one was a multi-millionaire. So the power of the mastermind, of having everyone focus on just your wow experience that you will have prepared from your wow planner, which is in the program, do this, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, blah, 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 blah. Then you do the best you can. You present it. We'll pick 1 or 2 every week. And it'll be all different products, and everyone who's on the call will help the person who's being showcased make their experience a wow experience. I've done this for 20 years. The Mastermind is the most wonderful, wonderful human get-together on the planet, and we do it all over the phone.
That's fantastic. And then the other thing, too, is I've been back there already, and between the monthly conference calls, there is, like, a ton of video content and all sorts of training that's already back there. And I was watching several of the videos, and I tell you what, I've taken a lot of, you know, I've taken marketing courses, and I'm personally just fascinated with the subject anyway. And there is so much good content back there that is so important and so needed. I've heard this before, and probably a lot of people on the call have heard this too, is that, you know, people aren't necessarily looking to buy a drill. They're looking to make a hole in something. That's what they need. They need a hole. They don't necessarily, you know, want a drill. The drill is a necessity that they have to have in order to make the hole. And I was watching a lot of your videos back there, and I was thinking, this is so true. This is so true. This is about finding people who really resonate with the products that you've got and what you're passionate about and excited about, versus trying to find anybody who fogs a mirror and push it down their throat. So,
right, exactly. Yeah, so the modules include things like how not to be a pushy sales type. Another one is how never to hear it's too expensive. That I can show you how to do immediately, because you know what that means, right? If you listen to today's session, if somebody says it's too expensive, you're barking up the wrong tree. So you've got to know who your customer is, and I'll show you how to do that, because there's a customer for your product. There's a place for you. But if you don't like what you're doing, or you don't feel comfortable doing what you're doing, you're not going to do it, and your business will be just some kind of a dream. And you may not want to even be in a business of any kind. It may be that you're really better off with a good position someplace where you're stimulated in different ways. Don't be afraid to be who you are, including stepping out of the network marketing arena. It might be that you take a break for 6 months. Just be who you are. You know, really, I cannot stress it enough, because we have enough people that are unhappy making trouble in the world. Happy people don't make trouble.
That's true.
They just don't, you know, and they don't beat on other people. If you're happy, do you nag? I mean, you know, who's there? So think first about what you need for your soul and your guts and what's going to turn you on including taking a break. But never hearing it's too expensive again. That's once you learn how to ask for the right people, you won't have that problem. The Wizard of Wow, that's what Jobs has done that you can do. Then the other thing is, the gal who did that one big demo last September, we've done several since, with wonderful results. She worked for 7 weeks calling people that were somebody else's. You know, she had a massage therapist friend that she hadn't seen in 5 years, and she called for 7 weeks. The two of them got on the phone and called select people from this massage therapist list, and they had 70 confirmed to show up for the event, 70, and 96 people showed up.
Wow.
And I want to show you how she did that, because we planned that to the minute, exactly how she was going to say it, what to say, yada, yada, yada. How to wow people if you don't have a wow product. You know, if your product is something that's a service, or it's something where it takes like a few months to work, like many whole food vitamin supplements take a while to work. What can you do so that the people at the event feel wowed? Not overcome with claims and boasts, but wow, I didn't know that. Oh, this is like a cool thing. And then, of course, how to invite the right people. And then keep yourself motivated by having success of a very specific sort. And then the last thing is we have 6 case studies of people with very different products where you can learn how they went through the process to try to create a wow experience. And the purpose of the program is to help you create yours. Because once you know how to wow people, you will never have trouble in sales, ever. And if you love your product or you love what you're doing and it's really who you think you are, the program is designed to help you become that person and bloom right into yourself. I mean, why not?
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you, Kim. Okay. Very
much. Oh, good. Thank you very much. Do you think we should open it up for any questions or anything like that, or do you think it'd be just too noisy?
We have a ton of people on the call. I'm afraid it might be too noisy. We're at an hour and a half, and in just a couple of minutes, we're going to lose our time anyway, and it will shut off.
Well, should I give my email address so in case people have questions, they could email them to me? Would that be all right?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, just in case, you know, you have a burning question and you want to just ask it, send me an email. It's Kim, K-I-M, and then Klaver, K-L-A-V, like Victor, E-R, at, you know, the little A sign, and then Mac, M like mommy, A-C, .com. So Kim Klaver at Mac.com, and email me with whatever questions you have, and I will get back to you. And give you an answer to the best of my ability.
Well, and I also, too, I wanted to mention that if you go to firstclassmlmtools.com, up in the top right-hand corner, there's an icon there that says Wow Marketing, and you can actually click on that, and you'll see 3 videos from Kim, and she's talking about the program and a little bit more about what we talked about this evening on the phone call. So you can go to firstclassmlmtools.com and click on the icon on the top right-hand of the page, and you'll go there. So,
right. By the way, we've had a number of people order the program while we're on the phone. So for those of you that are interested in that, because of the personal attention that I will be giving all the folks that are in there already, there is kind of a limit to how many folks I can really help without blowing it out. And I want to be able to help people who really want to do this. So just be aware that probably, you know, in the next week or so, we'll close out the program because it's all I can do. I'm just a human person. So it's not one of these where you get a bunch of tapes and then you run away and we run away. I stay with you. You know, I'm right there with you because I think if you have a hand to help you and guide you along the way, the chances of making something out of your business that you want are much greater. So that's why I'm sticking with it myself. So just so you know that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kim. I appreciate you being on the call with us tonight.
It's a pleasure. I hope I get a copy of the recording.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I will open up the lines right now and just say thank you to all of you so much for taking time out of your schedule and being on the call with us tonight. I appreciate it so much, and I know Tim Sales appreciates it very much as well. We value you guys. And we think about you every single day. I do. I think about you every single day. So, and if you have any questions for me, Facebook. Go to fan page, First Class MLM Tools on Facebook, and ask some questions. I will be on Facebook this evening as well, and I can forward any questions that I cannot answer to Kim, and she will answer them for you. So thank you, Kim, and thank you, everybody else, for being on the call.
And they know where to go, right? In case they'd like to see the program, Rachel? People know the link to go?
Yep, they go to firstclassmlmtools.com, and you click on the icon in the right-hand corner of the homepage. It says WOW Marketing. There's a fishbowl image right there. So click on that, and you'll be good to go.
Good, perfect.
All
thanks
right,
very much,
thank
guys.
You.
Thank you, Kim.
Oh, it's
thank
a pleasure.
Thank you very much. And if you want to hit star six, you'll unmute yourself, and you can say bye to.
Thank you, Kim.
Cost.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
It was excellent, Kim.
Oh, good. Thank you.
It was phenomenal, Kim.
Well, I love you back.
Great job, Kim.
Thanks, Kim. Hello.